super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Every year, for only 35 days, they come out of their hiding places and cause massive death and destruction on the nation's highways. 42P Productions, in association with Highway Safety Films, presents Half-Dead Fuckers Behind the Wheel. No exhaust systems, no brakes, no insurance, no mercy. Black Friday will run red, coming soon to the theater near you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who was banned from Facebook, not once, but a few times, 42nd Street Pete!
No, I was actually blocked for whatever reason. It's just amazing what a piece of shit that site has become. And I hope whoever owns it is listening. I think the government owns it, to be honest with you. But, you know, the site has become such a piece of shit that, you know, I don't know what the deal is, but... You know, I put up inappropriate shit all the time, as do a lot of other people. But for whatever reason, I think somebody has been ratting me out, one of these so-called friends that you never post nothing but's always there, or if something's fed back to somebody or whatever. And I'm not a paranoid thing on my part, just people being jerk-offs. And I could name a lot of jerk-offs on the air, but why bother? But the bottom line is I keep getting this fucking bullshit and then I get blocked. And last, I just had my friend Beverly put up my two email addresses for anybody to get in touch with me. I advise anybody who, you know, wants to get in touch with me to copy them down, because it's only be a matter of time before I'm totally thrown off. And I refuse to fucking crawl back and put up another profile and shit like that just to listen to the same stupid-ass driveling shit that always goes on. And what they claim I got thrown off for was an inappropriate picture that I posted 3 fucking weeks ago as my fuck you to Twilight, and it was a cover of a gay DVD box called Twink Blood. And it was nothing explicit on it, you know, some semi-naked guys. And, okay, it was like 3 weeks ago. They took it down probably 3 weeks ago, too. But all of a sudden now, the minute I tried to log on, I get this, and I'm blocked from Facebook. And it was supposed to be for 24 hours, it wound up more like being 3 days. That's when because Beverly had asked me, you know, do you want me to post something? I said, yeah, tell them I'm done with this shit, this and that. And the other thing, I really find it interesting that, like, maybe 6 hours after that was done, I could get back on again. And I'm to the point, you know something, I fucking hate that site. And I know you had issues with it this week, too.
Well, I thought it was weird that right after you had your trouble and they banned you, I try to log in, and it's giving me this thing that pops up and won't let me log in, and it says that I have to accept their terms of that I've read this letter because someone has turned me in for abusing the friend requesting deal, and I'd only sent out 2 friend requests in the last, hell, I don't know, maybe month and a half, and it was people who had asked that had been, one of them was suggested to me, and the other one was someone who had sent me an email asking me to find them and send them a friend request. And I didn't even remember it. And then I came across them on another page, a mutual friend. And it was actually Ari Lehman's page. And they were on there. And I went ahead and sent them a friend request because I remembered they had asked me to. Now, those are the only 2 I'd sent out. And I don't really see those 2 turning me in because they were kind of our kind of catch. You know, they were grindhouse type dudes.
Yeah.
So someone out there was just throwing me under the bus for no reason, because I don't do that. I don't go out there and do these things. And I found it kind of interesting and a little bit strange that they would do that right after what happened with you. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it was connected.
It's possible. You know what it is, too? There was something else. I don't know if this guy's one of your friends. I think it's Steve Faust or somebody.
I'm not sure.
I don't even know how I get half these characters anyway. But he went on a rant, and I think it was last Sunday, that something about politicians or niggers, or niggers or politicians, or something like that. So he's got this fucking huge thread completely bashing him and shit. He was either drunk, stoned, or whatever, or maybe just righteously pissed off that he wasn't backing off. So I put in something about, you know, well, why is it only that word and that word alone that gets this whole up-in-arms fucking deal and shit, and everybody's, oh, racist and a bigot and shit. Then I went my usual spit guinea, you know, kike, kime, whatever the fuck I was doing. You remember when we did that whole thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Years ago, whatever. So, of course, I get this fucking bullshit that was unnecessary, this and that and the other thing, and do I consider myself white trash and this and that and the other thing? You know something? Stick it in your fucking ass, all right? Black people can call it each other niggers, be that as it may. I just get sick and tired of that the whole, you know, just people go fucking batshit about this whole thing. A lot of people are getting upset. You know, I don't give a shit what anybody says. There is racial division in this country.
Well, it's caused by the government, and it's also caused by the fact that, look, I never, that word would be dead right now if the rappers and the people like that would quit using it. No one else would be hardly using it. I mean, there's a few jerks that might use it around. But my point and what you said that's interesting is, okay, how come people can call Asians bad names and Hispanics bad names and everybody else bad names and no one seems to care? But when they say that, it's, you know, it's suddenly, it seems like the only people that matter in this country anymore are the rednecks and the black people and no one else. We're all stuck in the middle going, what?
Yeah, I know. These Christian redneck fundamentalists and these militant people. And, I don't get it. Then you get this crap about, well, you know, all these years of oppression and slavery and shit like that. Number one, you know, it just gets to me, like, you know, this is what perpetrates this whole thing, because there's certain people that are they're brought up like that, brought up ignorant. And, you know, in my world, nobody's owed nothing. You fucking earned it. So, you know something? Fuck that. What the fuck? I'm not a bigot. I'm not prejudiced. I just, you know something? People would just try to get along and get past this fucking shit. You know, or these assholes like to stir it up because, you know, goddamn well, the government wants everybody at each other's throats so they can fucking ass rape us.
Well, the whole point I said was like, look, man, you know, if I did send a friend request because I was suggested to and you didn't want to be my friend, just write me back and say, hey, man, you know, I don't really have anything in common. I don't know you, so I only accept friends I know. I'm like, okay, well, so-and-so sent me, just so you know, I wasn't just being a douche. And instead, I mean, anyone that just goes after that little bit of a thing and turns you in for harassment, dude, that's just ridiculous. And I was like, you're a coward and a jerk and a spineless fool, and you have no business even being on this site, because this is about social networking. And if you're not ready to be social, maybe you should be on jerksorus.com and not on a social networking site.
Yeah, it's like I one chick, you know, she did me a friend request and some shit like that, and I emailed her back and I says, you already know me. You offered to blow me for $50 on Craigslist.
Oh, that's awesome.
She did. Back in Jersey.
That is so funny.
Yeah. So I'm like, gee, I'm surprised I didn't get turned in for that.
You get turned in for anything nowadays, and especially people. See, what I'm thinking, it's the same source, because I just don't see how it could happen to you and then turn around and happen to me in the same time frame. But they couldn't say that I was having inappropriate content on my page to get me banned, because I don't have any. So they turned around and they said, well, he's sending us too many friend requests, even though I didn't. And you'd think there was some way to track that, but they probably didn't even research it. They probably just took their word for it and sent me out this letter, because those people, unlike MySpace, who had a team of people that would actually work with you, because someone tried to steal my Jedi Superstar name for their page and they ended up working with me and I got the name. Facebook isn't like that. Facebook is they just react.
It's a bunch of whining fucking vaginas. They got nothing better to do than mind everybody else's business. It's probably, oh, you know what it is too? I might have thrown a fucking dig at that stupid ass church thing that refused admittance to that pagan kid.
There you go.
I threw something on their page. Maybe you should respect all faiths. Maybe it was them. You know something? Fuck you. Okay? Really. Fucking bullshit.
Well, I think it's because I'm your, you know, on there, I'm not Todd Sheets, I'm Jackalope Radio Station. So I'm your radio station. So they probably went after you and then went after me because I host the show.
It's possible. It could be one of those, you know, douchebags from one of the conventions on the East Coast. You know, and I'm not ruling that possibility out, because one of their friends is posting on my thing and I saw his furry little fucking face pop up. I fucking want to see that asshole again. But you know something? This is what I mean. Cowards behind keyboards. You know, and we've said it on this show, and I'll say it again. You got a beef with me? You want to come on this show and confront me directly? I won't even cut your ass off. I've never cut anybody's ass off. When another fucking crazy bitch called in about the midgets, the two of them, I didn't cut them off. And Todd even fucking emailed me on the sneak. You want me to shut them off? No, let them fucking go. I'm not going to cut anybody off. I don't want to be censored, and I don't want to censor anybody. You pull the wrong thing with me, I'll fucking verbally ass rape you. You'll be fucking curled up in fetal position, like a whining vagina. Sounds like a good name for a band. Ladies and gentlemen, the Whining Vaginas. Singing their hit single, Parted Lips.
Oh,
that was good.
That was a good one.
For off the top of my head, that was good.
You pulled that one right out.
Yeah. As did the Whining Vaginas.
Well, I just get frustrated because you're right about the cowardice. I mean, really, be a person. And you know, there's been times whenever we've told people that really had a beef with us. I was like, hey, you're in Ohio? I'm going to be in Ohio. Why don't you stop by the Cinema Wasteland show and see us? I'll be at Pete's table there, and you can just stop on by. I'll have no problem talking to you in person. But, you know, they never do. And this goes even deeper. Like with the Nightwatch deal, I had people that were attacking not only Nightwatch, but Jason and Grant, my friends from the Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi Channel. And I said, hey, we're going to be, you know, right near your neck of the woods. We're doing an event up there with Jason and Grant. Why don't you come on by and talk to all three of us? I'll be glad to talk to you, and I'm sure they would too. Those people never show up because they're all powerful when they're typing their little fingers on the keyboard, but when you confront them in person, they disappear. And I'll tell you another thing that was weird. There was a guy in St. Louis that was just ridiculously over the edge bashing and bashing, and I don't care if someone has an opinion, but there's no need to get as nasty as this guy did. And I just went and checked his IP address and traced it to his frickin' house and showed up on his doorstep, knocked on his door, and when he opened it, I looked at him, I said, okay, you got something to say? Because I'm here. And that ended pretty funny.
Yeah, they're all big shots. Like I said, anybody who wants to come on this fucking show, you're more than welcome to come on and voice your opinion or voice, you know, with, you know, like I said, I've even said this to you and anybody else. I'd have respect for somebody who came on and confronted me about something I said or did.
Well, I would too. At least they're not cowards.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone has a differing opinion, and I'm fine with that. Just be decent enough to not go behind someone's back and play little games trying to get them removed from a website. I mean, that's pretty severe and stupid when you think about it.
Yeah, well, like I said, suck my balls. You're not going to say it to my face. You can suck my balls. Both of them, the big sweaty two. That's all. Fuck it.
Well, at least you're still there for now. And, you know, and so am I. But, yeah, I mean, it just gets to the point where...
I'm thinking of going back to MySpace. I wonder, you know, have they changed? I wonder if my profile's still there, or is it just
It's there, but I got to tell you, dude, it has changed so much. I went over to MySpace. I've been kind of going about once a week for a while. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I skipped 2 weeks. And when I got back there, I have no idea what happened, but they implemented this new thing. I can't figure out even what I'm doing over there anymore. It's so bizarre. And I'm not... That's the weirdest thing with me. You know, I can take apart a computer and put together a computer pretty much blindfolded. I can do anything technologically that I need to do. I can also build software, but I cannot figure out how to use a friggin' MySpace page that, like, 12-year-olds can use. I just don't get it.
Yeah, MySpace, if I remember right, they never really broke my balls for any of the crazy shit.
And that's because they realized they were in America where freedom is choice.
Yeah, but, I don't know. Yeah. Where's the Facebook headquarters? Russia? Well, Russia's even fucking, I don't know who the hell knows. Everything sucks.
Well, I'm sitting there kind of freaking out because it is so bad now that I can't figure anything out. And I've still got the old style profile because I refuse to update it. And because I like it better. I the thing that irritates me about these websites when they make all these changes, they need to do like other websites that I've been to where they have the classic view or the modern new view. They should give you the option so that people like myself that liked the old MySpace and liked the way it interacted and it worked, we can use that format instead of, oh, well, if you don't like the new version, well, you're lost. Sorry. Bye.
Yeah, how about call me?
Terrible.
That's what I mean. Call me.
Yeah, that's what you like.
That's why I haven't talked to my daughters in over a year because they don't want to call me.
They just want to post and text and that kind of thing.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. They're probably having trouble. I mean, Serena put something on there today, something about drug testing the unemployed or something like that. You know, that doesn't make any sense because the unemployed don't have enough money to buy fucking drugs. Why don't you drug test the person who thought of that? Because obviously they're on something. You're drug testing the unemployed. You know, if they can't fucking get jobs and they have no money, what are they buying the fucking drugs with, you douchebags? Oh, they're getting unemployment. But if they got to pay the rent, they're not buying drugs. You know something? You should want us to be on drugs. I've said this before and said it again because we won't feel that hard red, white, and blue cock you're shoving up our asses. You should throw some.
There you go.
Yeah. Fucking George Carlin said that. I won't even take credit for that one. He goes, yeah, that red, white, and blue cock's going to get shoved right up your ass.
Well, George Carlin was a visionary. Mm. Ahead of his time.
You know what the difference between me and him is?
He's no longer with us.
Oh, he's still making more money than I do. Yep.
Yeah. I'm getting ready to put out these new movies, as you know, with not only with Rob, but also I talked to Mike Razzo, had a good conversation with him. And now he was supposed to call me, but he hasn't called me. He was supposed to call me Monday. He still hasn't called. But we are going to be putting out some more stuff together, and I know I'm going to be putting some stuff out with Rob. And the movies that we're getting ready to put out, I was just curious. I put them in to see what, you know, what's being said about them or any reviews or anything that I might put on the box. And lo and behold, Moonchild's on like 15 torrent sites. The old VHS version. I'm like, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. But the good news is I actually got one guy shut down. It took me about 6 months to shut him down, but I got him shut down and he was on iOffer. And here's the thing, Pete, with these guys. Now, I contacted this guy through iOffer and I sent him a nice email. I said, hey, dude, I noticed you're selling this movie. It's not legally available on DVD. It's The Shivers, right? Which Mike licensed. I don't even think he owns the rights anymore because I think it reverted to me a couple of years ago. But I said, you know, I noticed you're selling this on there, but it's not available on DVD. We're getting ready to do a remastered deal. And he was also selling, like, Zombie Bloodbath Trilogy, but they were the old VHS dubs. And I said, I tell you what, if you want to sell legit copies, we can make that happen. If you want to sell legit copies of Violent New Breed, because he had that one, I said, no problem. I have that ready to go. You know, you can work it out with my distributor. They'll sell it to you wholesale. You can sell it for the same price you're selling, make a little dollar, and you'll be doing it legally. Not a problem, man. You know, I appreciate the fact that you're trying to, you know, get my work out there. I was trying to be nice, right?
Yeah.
Didn't even have the decency to write me back, dude. So I sent him another letter, and I said, hey, in case you didn't get the first one, let me resend it. And I forwarded the first one to him, and nothing. So then I put a return receipt on that letter. Well, he wasn't on the same, he changed his email address. So then I had to get his email address again. And so that one was in limbo somewhere. So I finally sent another one. Well, that he had an AOL address, so I could tell he read it. Still never heard a thing from the guy. And then I was at the point where I was like, all right, now I'm going to blast this asshole. So I did. And I went to iOffer's board, and I turned him in and everything. And it took him 6 months, but they finally got him off of there. And I was like, because I finally was like, look, I had my lawyer draw me up a cease and desist order. And I sent that to them and to him. He didn't respond, but they kind of got freaked out, I think, and they went ahead and got him out of there.
Well, isn't that bill that's on the floor of Congress today that's going through is all about this shit, too?
I'm hoping it goes through.
Everybody's going, oh, it's about censorship. I go, the ones that are yelling about censorship are the ones that are downloading this shit or running torrent sites. The way I understand this is that if they find out that, you know, you punch in a Google search for, like, Dexter and it goes to a torrent site, Google is basically aiding and abetting that torrent site to fucking illegally download shit so that it's up to Google not to fucking do that or something. That's the way I get it. But you know something? Shut them all down because, you know something? I got nothing coming out. You can't fucking burn me anymore, remember? So, fuck you.
Yeah.
Really?
You said you were just going to end it all, man.
Nope. Nothing's coming out. Maybe when these fucking sites are shut down, I'll start putting some shit out. Maybe you people will hate me enough not to buy anything. But you know something? I'm being fucking real here. And so some of my so-called friends download my shit. I understand that my friend Rob from Movies Hate You is going to have a show about torrent sites.
Yeah, he's going to be talking about the evils of torrents, and it's going to be like a debate between there's like three of us that don't like it and a couple of guys that think it's something that needs to stay.
Oh, yeah, he wants me in on this, I heard, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It is going to be fucking brutal.
It is going to be brutal. That'll probably be the most brutal show ever.
Well, somebody's going to walk away from it with their asshole bleeding, I'll guarantee you that.
I can't say I blame you there.
Yeah.
Well, and look, it's kind of like I said. I understand, like, when you can't get The Boy Who Cried Werewolf, because I was up there with you, and this guy happened to have The Boy Who Cried Werewolf, a pretty decent print. Not perfect, but pretty decent. And so I went ahead and I picked it up from him. You know why? Because it's not legally available in almost anywhere. I think it's only been released in, like, two countries in the whole world. And ours is not one of them, of course, and neither, none of the ones that we know are one of, not even Japan. And I'm like, I'll go ahead and pick that up because it was off of a, you know, decent one-inch master from a TV station somewhere. And
I got it off somebody, and it just reinforced my opinion that the poster was a lot better than the movie.
I knew you were going to dog it. I knew it was coming. But
yeah.
I have a nostalgia for that movie, so I can't help it. But here I am, you know, I'm enjoying it. And I'm liking it, but at the same time, I'm not taking money away from anybody. But if a movie is legally available in a territory, that's when I think the torrent sites should be shut down, only because I think, look, I understand the need to get something that's never been released. We love the movies, and we want them. But at the same time, it's kind of like the bootleggers. When I'm at a convention, and this happened here in Kansas City recently, I'm at a convention, and the guy has something really awesome that's never been released in America. You know, that's cool, like Spider's Labyrinth, this Italian horror movie. It's an awesome movie. That. Yeah, and you probably got it the same way I did. You know, it's like...
I got it off eBay.
Is it a legitimate copy or is it a dub?
It's probably a dub, but it's like very nice. It's packaged well.
Exactly. See, and that's what this guy was doing. Now, that I would buy. But then at the same time, he had Evil Dead 2. And I'm like, really? Dude... And I'm like, you got to get that out of here. And he had like dubs of these movies that are, you know, available at the local Best Buy. And that's when you got to say, no, absolutely not. And I told him, I said, dude, that's crap. So I went over and I was talking to Mosley, and they went over and made him pull those movies that are like legally available off of his table. And he could sell the stuff that's not. But he, you know, and that's something I'm with that. Just the problem is when people are, you know, when they're making multiple copies of Busty Babes from Pete here, and they're selling that dang thing. Well, every time you sell it, it takes a dime away from Pete. And the funny thing is, by the time you're done buying the damn blank DVDs, all the time you're putting into duping them, and you're going down to the Kinko's making laser prints of the cover, you could just buy the damn thing wholesale from these guys and sell them as a friggin' a.
And killing part is what you're talking about, that single disc, the first one.
Yeah.
That only went for like $10. I mean, how much better do you want, you know?
Well, exactly. And I'm thinking if you got a hold of Mike and you wanted to become a sub-distributor, he would easily set someone up wholesale to sell
the stuff. You know, the weirdest part is, and I had the figures on that, that's been the one of the, you know, as far as a mainstream title, that was one, it still is one of the best-selling titles. It sold over, 6,000.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, it was everywhere, man. It was at Borders Books. It was at Barnes & Noble. It was at friggin' Hastings. It was everywhere.
Yeah, but you know what it was? It was the price.
Yep.
Some of the other stuff, we didn't do that well on. Like, you know, I mean, the price came down now. It had to. But I was, you know, my rule of thumb, I thought, you know, and I, you know, would have done it myself, is that if it's hardcore, it's one price. If it's softcore, it's another price. Because the softcore is going to get into mainstream. Once it's in the mainstream area, you're theoretically going to sell more because, you know, there's more exposure to it.
True.
Even though we put little trailers on the end of them, like, you know, buy Extreme Sleaze 1, 2, and 3.
Well, but, you got to promote. You know, what are you going to do? It is break time, so let's take a break real quick.
Children of the night. What music they
need. The sunlight in the dark of night. Monster movies in black and white. Burning.
What's happening, hot stuff?
Why so serious?
Jackalope Radio.
You know, while we're on the subject of movies, I watched a great movie last night from 1956 called The Killing. You ever hear of it?
Yeah, I have. It's Criterion put it out, right?
Stanley Kubrick. No, MGM put it out, actually.
Oh, did they? Okay.
You're thinking of The Killers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, this is Stanley Kubrick.
Okay.
Kubrick, whatever, how you ever say it. And it's a great heist movie. And, you know, there's another thing where this, you know, was another, you know, grindhousey type movie back then. Because it was a lot of, you know, black and white, you know, heist movie. And it was carried out. Sterling Hayden was the lead. And he was the only real criminal in the gang. The rest of them were just people like Elijah Cook Jr. played this guy who was one of the cashiers and had a wife that had like a little bit of an appetite for, you know, money type things. There was a bartender on the track whose wife was dying of cancer, a cop who was in deep with the mob, and this accountant guy who would set it up. So the deal was they hired Timothy Carey. Remember Timothy Carey? Character actor? You know Timothy Carey, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So he's supposed to shoot this horse, the most favored horse to win at the race. As the horse rounds the thing, he's supposed to shoot the horse. That creates a situation where they let Hayden in to rob the whole thing. He tosses the duffel bag out the window. The cop gets it, but then there's a whole, you know, plot twist after that. But what a great fucking movie, dude.
Turned out good,
you know,
huh?
Like I said, it's got Ted, you know, a lot of 50s guys that probably people wouldn't know unless they're, you know, our age, but you didn't watch a lot of that stuff. But like Sterling Hayden was the lead. And J.C. Flippin was second billed, and he was a character actor who bounced around a lot. You know, had like the white hair and the bulldog face. And actually, he lost one of his legs to diabetes, and he still was acting in a wheelchair toward the end of his life. Did a lot of stuff. But and the thing was that actually prior to that, The Wild One was in 1953, also by Stanley. And he played a sheriff in that. Now, the weird thing was Timothy Carey was in that also, but he was unbilled. He was part of Lee Marvin's gang, you know, the motorcycle gang, the Beatles.
Right.
And it was a scene, if you remember the scene, he was squirting beer into Brando's face.
Uh-huh.
And Brando wasn't too cool with that because, you know, Brando was the method actor and stuff. And like, he didn't know how unpredictable Carey was. And a lot of people who worked with him didn't really know how unpredictable he was. Because he did the three films. The third film he did for Kubrick was Paths of Glory, the one with Kirk Douglas, where they have to execute three soldiers for cowardice during World War II.
Right.
Just randomly pick them. Well, he was one of them, and the whole deal is he was one. Ralph Meeker was one, and Joe Turkel was another. And, you know, basically his role was supposed to be non-speaking, but he kept on ad-libbing with this, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, and they left it in. But he started developing a reputation as, like, really hard to work with. But his apotheosis, I guess, as a character actor was this film called Bayou in 1957, which we know it is Poor White Trish.
Right.
In 61. And that was sort of like the Gone with the Wind of the grindhouse movies because it played up until the late 70s. Always played around, you know, the deuce. Sometimes on a double bill with Poor White Trish, too, which was completely unrelated to that.
Right. That was a Brown Rig flick, right?
Yeah.
Except Brown Rig.
But, yeah, you know, it's such a, you know, Joe Turkel was in The Killing, and he was, like I said, he was one of the, you know, soldiers executed in Paths of Glory. Then he was the bartender in The Shining, and he was in The Sand Pebbles. You know, some great, great character actors in there. And Sterling Hayden was sort of a wild card because he hated acting. And he was very active in World War II behind the lines, working with the guerrillas in Yugoslavia and stuff. And, you know, he did this, and then he was also in Dr. Strangelove as Major Jack D. Ripper.
Yeah.
And he was also, here's another interesting thing about him. He was cast to play the knife thrower in Magnificent Seven, Brit, but there was something else going on, and he couldn't get it, so I went to James Coburn. But when doing the casting for Jaws, they originally wanted him for Quint instead of Robert Shaw. But the whole thing was he was living outside the country, and if he came back, they were going to arrest him for tax evasion.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So that's why I think, you know, one of the pretty much the last things he did was that film Venom with Klaus Kinski and Oliver Reed.
Right.
Which is available on Blue Underground.
You but know, yeah, Blue Underground has that movie Contraband, that Fulci flick.
Yeah.
I wanted to put it on Blu-ray or reissue the DVD or something because you can't find it anywhere. And mine, for some reason, has this weird spot in the middle where it just freezes and then goes on, but it like misses like 10 minutes of the movie.
Oh, shit. That's not good.
And that was the only copy that ever came to that Best Buy, so I never could get another one.
Well, that's fucking Best Buy. I'm pretty sure you can get that. You know something? Gee, I'm just sitting here with fucking fountain of information. I got a catalog.
Wow.
It's the Alternative Cinema Catalog. And they have a Blue Underground section. And I'll bet you... You want to bet? I mean, I could use the money.
I heard that it was like out of print now or something. Or maybe a moratorium or something.
No. I don't think so.
Well, that's cool.
I'm going to check for you. Be nice if we put these things in alphabetical fucking order. What the fuck? Oh, wait. There's a lot of Blue Underground. There's a shitload of Blue Underground. Yeah, it's still here.
Oh, cool.
Order from Mike.
There you go.
It retails for $14.99, but you can get it from Alternative Cinema for $12.99 and probably free shipping.
There you go.
Yeah, so your one-stop shop. Source, whatever. Oh, you know what else they have out? They have, and this is another cool movie I just watched recently, Circus of Fear. Have you ever saw that? It's in the Christopher Lee box set, but I'm sure you can buy it separately.
Yeah.
And this was one of those deals, it was based on an Edgar Wallace story or novel, and they were doing a lot of them, you know, in West Germany, but this was a West German-British co-production. It was directed by John Moxey, who also did Horror Hotel, which is also known as City of the Dead, and produced by Harry Allen Towers, who did all those Franco Lee Fu Manchu movies, among other things. And he did a bunch of Franco stuff. But this has a who's who of, you know, West German and British actors. Christopher Lee, of course, is in the lead as Gregor, the Lion Tamer, War Always Wore a Mask. Leo Glenn is Inspector. Anthony Newlands is Barberini, the Knife Thrower. Klaus Kinski as this creepy guy, Manfred, who was always lurking around. Eddie Arndt from some of the West German flicks. Margaret Lee from also them. Victor Madden from Blood of the Vampire. And Skip Martin, we've seen him around. He's a dwarf. And it's a heist movie with a circus backdrop where they do this heist them to begin in the movie, and then they're trying to hide the money, and something goes wrong. They're not supposed to kill anybody, but, you know, of course, somebody gets fucking killed. And it goes from there, and there's just a bunch of really weird, you know, subplots going on with the circuits and stuff. But it's a really fucking cool movie. Yeah, I'd advise you to check it out.
Awesome. And,
you know, on this whole film noirish thing, you know, they've shot a lot of Raymond Chandler stuff over the years, but I always thought the coolest ones, and I've watched these recently too, were the ones with, you know, where they cast Robert Mitchum as, you know, Marlowe.
Yeah.
And the first time was Farewell, My Lovely. And that was directed by Dick Richards. And, you know, another great, you know, great cast of character actors, John Ireland, Sylvia Miles, Anthony Zerbe, Harry Dean Stanton, Joe Spinell, and an early appearance by Stallone.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But the cool one was, and they shot this in Great Britain instead of California, was The Big Sleep in 78. The other one was Farewell, My Lovely was 75. And this was directed by Michael Winner, who we all know was pretty much responsible for Death Wish 1-3. And he did a lot of Bronson stuff, The Stone Killer and Shadow's Land. That horror flick that I really like, The Sentinel.
Yeah.
And that Burt Lancaster Western Lawman. I guess he was with Bronson for quite a while. Then all of a sudden, Bronson, you know, started doing a lot of stuff with Lee Thompson. That he took over as his favorite director toward the, you know, the latter part of his career. But Big Sleep was great, and it's pretty much closer to Chandler's book than the, you know, the first adaptation. And this, again, you got Sarah Miles, Richard Boone as Lash Camino, Candy Clark, who's running around naked and nuts, Joan Collins, James Stewart, John Mills, and Oliver Reed as Eddie Mars. And there was a side story to Oliver Reed's involvement that he took something like a pay cut just so he could work with Mitchum. So that says a lot. But then you look at the Reed drinker, Boone drinker, Mitchum drinker. I'll bet that was a real interesting fucking cast to hang around
with. I'm sure.
Yeah. Because, you know, we love Oliver Reed. We're really sorry he left us, you know, and the funny part was that his role model was Robert Newton, another guy who like really put it away, and he died, you know, in his late 50s. So yeah, but
too much thinking.
These were fucking really these are really good movies, you know, they ran on 42nd Street. You know, everybody's, you know, has a misconception about, you know, that it was all sleaze and porn and stuff like that. But, you know, these were big budget grindhousey type movies. And like, you know, you're not going to throw up a thing like Circus of, you know, Circus of Fear was actually released as Psycho Circus, which was a more, you know, intriguing title for the Deuce area. That's what I saw it under, a Psycho Circus.
Gotcha. But,
you know, but I'm sure the Wild One, you know, I was born in 52. The Wild One, you know, was in 53, so I was like a year old. So obviously I didn't see it on the Deuce. But, you know, all these films, you know, you would have seen the big marquees up there, you know, from old photos and stuff like that. You know, The Killing, definitely. Poor White Trash, definitely. The other thing I forgot to mention when I was talking about Timothy Carey was he did one of the ultimate grindhouse movies, The World's Greatest Sinner. You know, completely crazy. I don't even know if that's available. I know, Turner Underground was running that for a while.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that's kind of elusive.
Yeah, I don't know why nobody's put that out, because that's, man, talk about, you know, some people say Carey might have been legitimately crazy.
Really?
I guess that could be said for, you know, a lot of people, you know, to be in that, you know, the business, and, you know, we're sort of like the fringe of the business. You know, you got to be a little bit fucking nuts to stay in this, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking right now, and from what I can see, it's not available on DVD anywhere. They do have, again, some bootlegs on iOffer that I'm finding. That's about it.
Oh, well, Greatest Sinner?
Yep. People took
it
off of HD.
I wonder if it's one of those deals where if you go into, like, the Warner Archives, you could, you know, get a decent, you know, they DVD-R them there, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking here. Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess the closest one, it looks like they have it in the, no, they have the Great Sinner in the Warner Archive, but not the World's Greatest. The World's Greatest Sinner is available through an HD. They pulled it off of HD from Turner Movie Classics or something, it looks like, and they've got a DVD of it from there. It's just floating around out there.
Yeah, well, that's all you can get. That's all you can get. I don't know. You know, well, you're dealing with young idiots that don't know anything. You know, and righteously, maybe, you know, you're not going to sell a lot of it, but you'd certainly sell enough of it, you know.
Hey, Pete, as I'm looking this up right now on Google, it says, in response to a complaint under the U.S. Digital Millennium Copyright Act, we have removed two results from this page. If you wish, you may read the DMCA complaint that caused the removal at chillingeffects.org. So they're already starting to remove stuff from the torrent guys.
Ah. See, I told you. You fuck me, we fuck you back. Tell me I didn't predict. You know, I said I didn't have to do shit. Sooner or later, you know, it's going to happen. And if they, it's just a wonderful thing if they have to go after all these people that have their IPS addresses on there and just be knocking on their doors demanding money and shit. These people are going to like poop themselves.
Weird.
Yeah. Nah, it's a good fucking thing. I'm glad they're doing it, you know?
Very strange.
Mean, I just, you know, with all the technology and shit, I would, you know, fuck it. I want to have a professionally fucking produced copy of something in my hand that's not going to just fall apart in, you know, a few years or something. And that's what I want. That's all. It's not too hard to ask for.
Hmm.
You know?
It's true.
But
it's very obvious true.
To some people it's not enough, so. I don't care. I hope they get them all. I really do. You know, some people out here, like, I have to work to get this stuff done. We have to pay production costs and everything like that and have, you know, some douchebag fucking downloader who thinks he got over on me. Well, guess what? It's coming. Everything goes around full circle. I don't know why people don't realize that. I mean, I get thrown off Facebook. That was probably karma for me, you know, saying bad things. Who the fuck knows? But anyway. Well.
Crazy is what it is. You know, but it's weird that this has already started.
Well, I know, you know, people, you know, host sites or whatever do not want to get fucking caught up in the fucking maelstrom that's about to come down. So why should they host these people, you know? Get rid of them.
It's true.
Cut your links.
Cut your losses.
Like you just found out that your pot dealer was a child molester and a pedophile, so you don't buy off him anymore, you know? You don't go there anymore. You don't want to be associated. That's what you got to do. Cut ties.
The world according to Pete, ladies and gentlemen.
It's common sense, you know. If you're let's say a site is obvious. Like I offer, let's say that they're a legit site, correct?
Yes. Well, yeah, kind of.
Well, okay. Well, we'll just say they're you know. All right, Amazon's a legit site. All right.
Yep.
Apples and oranges. All right, but. Somebody might have been selling something for a while on Amazon and not getting in trouble for it, but now all of a sudden Amazon sees this and sees the handwriting on the wall and they have to dump that person. It's only common sense. Why would you go down to protect some fucking douchebag? Okay, you made money off the guy, now get rid of him because now he's a liability.
Well, that's true. And it's gonna
like
get
the
worse.
Mafia, you know. Okay, we've made money with this guy, but he's drunk and he's a drug addict and he talks too much. Now he's a liability. Get rid of him.
Bye. Cut him off.
Yeah. He sleeps with the fishes. That's all.
Well, some of these guys should sleep with the fishes. I mean, they're just ruthless, nasty, bottom feeders, and you know who I'm talking about. You know, it's some dudes are legitimately just dunce heads, but you know, usually when you send someone a letter. And you give them every opportunity to be a decent person and to take the high road, and they won't do it. They don't have any decency. If someone ignores me, I'll come banging on their door.
Yeah, like I said, you know, the movies I just discussed, you know, before. I mean, I don't know about the two Mitchum movies because I think they're in moratorium, but Circus of Fear, you can get through Blue Underground, Alternative Cinema, and... The Killing, I just picked up in used bookstore for $7. It was well worth it. The Wild One, you can get legitimately. In Paths of Glory, you can get legitimately. Poor White Trash, I'm not sure of.
I believe that one's out, yeah.
Yeah. World's Greatest Sinner, we just found out we can't. But, you know, there's, you know, stuff. And, you know, seek out the Mitchum ones because they may be out of moratorium because they're fucking definitely worth watching, you know?
I love film noir. I do. I've gotten into it more and more. I really think it's amazing.
It's like I equate the grindhouse to a brick wall because brick walls basically was what held these things up, and each brick is a certain genre in the grindhouse wall to me.
There you go. You
know, the Philip Marlowe, you know, was a crime thing. You know, basically everything except, you know, kids stuff and romantic fluff, you know, and you know, artsy stuff, you know, wasn't grindhouse stuff, but you know, the whole plethora of the whole thing is you look at people, you know, in the 50s, well, the character actors became the stars of the 60s and 70s and in the 80s, and they all came out of grindhouse films.
Well, and so. Also, some kid stuff was even Grindhouse stuff, because remember they'd have those matinees, and they'd have, like, Santa Claus versus the Martians and that kind of crap.
Yeah, that was that K. Gordon Murray stuff. That, yeah. You know, well, you know, some stuff, you know, should have, you know, well, I don't know. That was pretty innocent stuff. But I'm talking about you never saw a Disney movie play at the fucking Liberty, you know?
True.
You know, that type of thing. Or any of them, you know, every once in a while a comedy would crop up, you know. I don't know, I just remember all the sleaze and, you know, Kung Fu and Spaghetti Western stuff and things like that. I don't remember. I remember when the Dirty Dozen came out, that was big over there. Shit. You know, there was a big, you know, huge standee for that. But then, yeah, that's another thing we could spin off into talking about how many other films the Dirty Dozen had spawned off, you know.
Well, and all the Italian reproductions that played even up through the 80s.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But there was even Sammo Hung did one. Yep. Eastern Condors.
Yep, yep.
So, yeah. There is just so much you could be talking about, and then you got to go up with the Facebook thing. But, you know, yeah, we try to keep current. Right, well, you people know how it is. You know how we get. You get a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yep. All sides.
I guess we're running out of time.
We are. We got about 2 minutes.
So, I wish you would do. We are going to try to put together some kind of perverse Christmas Eve show for next Saturday. For those of you who will be fucking sitting there sulking, probably like I will, because I'm not going anywhere. So I'm just going to start a nice big fire in my fireplace and hope I burn Santa's ass coming down. Well, not that he would even come down my chimney. Yeah. He'd probably poop down my chimney, but not come down my chimney.
Oh.
But until then, stay sick. Have a great holiday if we somehow don't go on. But we're going to try to come up with something for Christmas, something very special. And we sent out feelers to certain people who feel the same way I do about the holidays. So stay sick, and we'll see you next week.
Spaghetti Westerns. How about the man with no name? Django. Yeah, they're all in here. How about some bikers like the Hell's Angels, Satan's Slaves, Satan's Sadists? We want some blood and guts. Well, how about H.G. Lewis, Andy Milligan, John Carpenter, George A. Romero, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Ghastly Ones, Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS? All those hot, horny mistresses guaranteed to dominate your dreams. They're all yours right here in the Grindhouse.
So grab yourself a seat on Saturday night. The booze is